Rek taka maka shishi ta namgyo na shi Sen chungbu shi ta otin de shing tobe Sen zishi wa shi duwa ka maka shishi Ani Sanji hu yi la che, ani choba pye Ani tanda rangi gyu la gyewe lo gyetab chi kwe otin Tengye shen gyewe lo gye che Sen Tab labo da gulong cho he Cho yin shi che, cho su dwe gulong cho kwe
So as usual, for the next couple of minutes, try to do some reflection and meditation, with an alert mind and with some concentration. Okay, just for the next few minutes, so you bring Buddha to mind, and then you know make offerings and so forth. In particular, you know, set the proper motivation. Yeah. For listening to the teachings, and so as much as possible, develop a virtuous frame of mind. Yeah. Obeisance to my guru and protector Manjushri, who holds to his heart the scriptural text involving overseeing all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun unclouded by defilements or traces of ignorance, who teaches in 60 ways the patient love of a father for his only son, all creatures caught in the prison of samsara, overwhelmed by their suffering, due whose dragon thunder proclamation of the Dharma arouses us from the stupor of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our karma, whose powerful sword of wisdom hews down suffering wherever its sprouts appear. Ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, whose princely body is adorned with 112 marks of a Buddha, who has been completed 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a Bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. I, O Manjushri, all loving one, with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness and closing our minds in our intelligence and wisdom so that we may gain insight in the Buddha's words and texts that explain the Omarabhatsana, the Omarabhatsana.
So we are now looking at the instructions, yeah, the topic for generating bodhicitta. It's translated here as the spirit of enlightenment, right? So what is bodhicitta? Essentially is an aspiration for enlightenment. Right? Bodhicitta is an aspiration for enlightenment. In order to develop an aspiration for enlightenment, one needs to have developed well a mind that is intent on others' welfare. In order to develop, in order to be able to develop well and a mind that is intent on others' welfare, one must first have affection for everyone. Yeah. And the basis for cultivating an affection for everyone is impartiality. So first, we have to cultivate impartiality. Just cultivating impartiality alone is just not enough. On the basis of having cultivated impartiality, we have to cultivate an affection. To be able to develop this affection for all beings, yeah. So in order to cultivate an affection, having to cultivate this affection for all beings, then the teachings here in the instruction mentions, states that we have to cultivate a recognition that all beings are our mothers, then cultivating a remembrance of their kindness, and then cultivating the wish to repay your mother's kindness, yeah. So that with these three, then we'll be able to develop an affection for all beings. Having an affection for all beings becomes the foundation, the basis, in order to generate the mind that is intent on others' welfare. Yeah, yeah. So having affection for all beings becomes the basis to generate the mind that is intent on others' welfare. So with that as a basis, in order to develop a mind that is intent on others' welfare, then the text talks about cultivating love, cultivating compassion, and then cultivating wholehearted resolve. So, when the cultivation of love, compassion, and wholehearted resolve is done properly and well, then this will become a condition, a cause for one to be able to develop, to properly develop the bodhicitta, the aspiration for enlightenment.
What? Interesting.
Okay, those of you who read the text, yeah, can you send someone answer what my question which I gave you on Tuesday? So basically, what's the qualm? And what's the answer?
Yeah. Jeffrey?
Yeah. Huh? Tuesday Dingam. Yanyo.
Anybody? Yeah, Regina. Try. Can you try or not? What is the calm and what is the answer? Yeah.
the qualm is whether the development of bodhicitta is referring to aspirational or engaged bodhicitta. Are we talking about that? No? Sorry.
Tuesday, all of you here? Are not here? Huh?
Huh? No diff.
Anybody read? Or no one read? Yeah. Sorry. Huh? Yeah, give book to the tourists. Yeah.
So, what I'm looking for, the important thing is that you have read and you have thought about it, you know. It doesn't matter whether you got it right or wrong. That's not the point. The point here is, this is just a chance to express what you think you have understood from your reading. That's the important thing. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It's really.
Are you reading first time? Now? No.
So, you know, I always encourage you to read and not just read and think about what you have read. Yeah, this is important. The way we study has to be different here for this kind of class. Yeah. Yeah, so reading and thinking about it is very important because, especially, you know, if somebody challenges your understanding, you know, and able to show you the fault of your reasoning or how your position cannot be substantiated, then you'll stick in your mind forever. You really learn. Otherwise, you know, if you don't read, you just rely on what I say in class, you know, I come to class, you come to class, and I just read the text, blah, 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 blah. It will stay in your mind maybe for about 1 month or 1 week. That's it. No? So actually, there's a big difference. So the way in which we study must be different. Anyway, this is what I see, how important it is, and so therefore I always, you know, encourage you guys to try, right?
to read, yeah, because when you read, you know, then, you know, if you read and you think about it, the stuff, you know, then, you know, you have, you know, you start to develop, every time you read, you have new perspective, new understanding, maybe more questions, you know, and this will increase your interest, you know, naturally, you know, you have an interest, you know, once you have, you know, to find out more and to continue, yeah. Yeah, I think you have to stand there. So this is the way to read. You have to read, no? Not just read, you know. Yeah, but read and think about it, you know. And when you think about it, you know, every time you read and think, then you may get new perspective, new understanding, you know. So it's a kind of a very interesting kind of amazing kind of feeling, you know, which then fuels your interest, you know, to want to read more. So if you just read it casually, just like, you know, turn the page, you know, then and then to expect your interest to continue with just a simple reading, you know, without thinking, then I guess maybe quite difficult. Quite difficult.
Okay, yeah. Can you read?
I think
page
47, Lam Yung Chimo. I think it's under the part that says the cultivation of wholehearted resolve. It says that even though this thought was described in the context of practice of repaying your mother's kindness, here it indicates that it is insufficient to have the compassion and love which merely think how nice it would be if they had happiness and were free from suffering. Yeah. For the thought that assumes responsibility shows that you must develop the compassion and love which has the power to induce the resolve. I thought the quam was similar to what Cecilia asked that day also. When you have that love and compassion, doesn't it sound like, you know, how nice it would be that they are free from suffering, may they be free, I shall cause them to be free. It sounded quite similar to what Cecilia is asking. Doesn't it sound like what wholehearted resolve is? So I thought, Ken Rinpoche really answered. The difference is that you take a personal responsibility. It's not just leave it to say that, oh, I will cause the person to be free from suffering. You can cause a person to be free from suffering in a lot of ways, but to take that personal responsibility to be say that I will be the one to actually liberate the person from the suffering.
What's the qualm in essence?
The qualm in essence is the qualm in essence, I think, is you kind of have to just not leave it as just compassion. There is a bridge between compassion and the bodhicitta. And that bridge is actually this wholehearted resolve whereby you take the personal responsibility.
That would be an answer. That sounds like an answer.
To the qualm.
That sounds like an answer type of answer.
Oh, okay. So what's the qualm?
Yeah, what's the qualm?
Before you're giving the answer, you must know the qualm, yeah?
Okay. Let me think about it, eh? I think the qualm is there are people...
We will continue this 2 hours to discuss this session. Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought
until you get the correct. Yeah.
Oh. I think it's a permanent thing. I'm not standing here.
What do you say? What's the qualm?
I think the qualm is... The qualm is my mind is blank. The qualm is that, you know, you may be
just leaving.
So whatever, whoever is standing there, saying whatever is he or she is saying, everybody has to be alert. You know, you should not think that this is just the business between two individuals. No, you should not be like, what's up? But rather, you have to take an interest in what is being said, yeah, and how what is being said, how is it said, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So
I think the qualm may be that some people may think that the wholehearted resolve is left with just being a wish to free. The qualm may be that some people may think that, you know, I do not have to take the responsibility. Just leave it as a wish.
When developing wholehearted resolve?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a qualm. Okay, sit down. Yeah, whenever sitting, what is the qualm? Yeah, whenever sitting.
We will sponsor you the ropes.
Today I think I have to call everyone, okay? Just be ready. You must say something. Yeah. Make sure, okay, give the call by reading what the conclusion. Give the form, then if possible, give the answer.
It sounds like the qualm is we have already discussed love and compassion under the earlier topic of repaying the kindness of sentient beings, thinking of them as our mothers and recalling the kindness our mothers have shown us. So the qualm seems to be, why are we talking about love and compassion again? Because, you know, we have actually covered love and compassion under the earlier discussion. And the response here seems to be, the response to that qualm is, the love and compassion that is generated under that earlier discussion is not strong enough. And the meditation of love and compassion in this context, very specific techniques are given. Under love, we are told that we need to think deeply about how sentient beings pursue happiness but are always unable to achieve happiness, to think about that over and over again. And under the development of compassion, we are told here to think about the sufferings, the six sufferings, the eight sufferings, the three sufferings. So we are told specifically to use those techniques to generate the love and compassion so that the love and compassion is strong enough, so overwhelming that we can't bear it anymore and we say, I am going to take the responsibility of freeing sentient beings from all this suffering and to give them every possible happiness. So just to repeat, it seems like the poem is saying, well, you know, why are you talking about love and compassion again? Haven't we talked about that earlier already under the discussion on repaying the kindness of the mother? And the response to that is, yes, we may have, but that love and compassion is not strong enough.
In the section on recognizing sentient beings as mother and cultivating remembrance of their kindness, there is no discussion of love whatsoever. There was no discussion of love and compassion in those sections.
Isn't it?
Well,
isn't it?
I thought repaying the kindness of the mother was the basis for, you know, bringing up some feeling of love and compassion. Okay, let me clarify. Can I look at my text?
No, you must understand.
You said that the love and compassion that is mentioned here is different from the love and compassion that is mentioned in those sections, right?
May I refer back to the text, because it says that although this point has already been made briefly in the context of repaying the kindness, it is shown here that the love and compassion that think if only they will meet with happiness, if only they will free from suffering, are not sufficient. So I make the assumption that it has been mentioned under the discussion of thinking of the kindness of the mother, of all sentient beings as one's mother.
So if someone was to say to you, the love and compassion is not mentioned in the section of recognizing all sentient beings as our mother and remembering their kindness, right? So what are you going to say?
I would have to say, I would have to go back and read my text again.
But what do you think personally? So therefore, you see, there's a big difference here in this way of pursuing and understanding of the topic. Yeah, you see, from this you can see, you know, what we think the text is saying from our reading is not necessarily what it is, yeah. And this becomes apparent when we are questioned.
Okay. Also myself, I don't know what is the poem, myself also don't know. So I'm just trying to get from you. So I didn't get that still. Okay, Benny. Make it short.
So at the end of meditating on love and compassion, the result would be thinking, if only sentient beings had happiness and were free from suffering. All right? How can I cause them to be free from suffering? May I be able to do so? All right, so the qualm will be that this kind of thought alone is sufficient enough. Why do you need to proceed further to generate a wholehearted resolve?
Can you repeat one more?
Balik.
So at the end of meditating on love and compassion,
okay,
the thought would be generated that how wonderful it be if all sentient beings had happiness, free from suffering. May they have happiness and free from suffering. I will cause them to have happiness and free from suffering. So having this thought alone after meditating on love and compassion should be enough. So the problem is why should there be a cultivation of wholehearted resolve before generating bodhicitta?
Does that comment make sense?
So to everybody, me maybe it's
everybody think.
To me it's like where is by the end of cultivating on compassion, we would have a thought to benefit, you know, generate this mind of bodhicitta. Alright. Basing on this. So
okay.
Yeah, that's the qualm.
Okay. If that's the qualm, then how the answer related with your qualm?
So like it says down here, this is insufficient.
Yeah, because that's your qualm, yeah. If that's your qualm, how the answer will be put that your qualm. Yeah.
So this is the answer will be that this kind of thought alone is insufficient.
Are you clear about your qualm, yeah? What you said just now. Okay? You're clear about your qualm. So now you have to go with the answer.
Right. So the answer would be that this kind of thought is insufficient to generate this mind of bodhicitta. Because you know,
when you say this kind of thought, which one?
That means the thought
loving
that
kindness,
is
the compassion and loving kindness. These two are not.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
All right. So this
great
is
compassion and great
love
is not enough.
Not enough for me to.
You saying that?
Proceed. Go to the step of cultivating generating bodhicitta.
Okay. This itself is not enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you need one more step, which is the wholehearted resolve.
But what is your qualm just now?
The qualm is that at the end of meditating on love and compassion,
then between the mind, that you need this mind, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the qualm, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now how your answer for that?
Yeah. So the qualm is that the mind, those minds of love and compassion is not strong enough. Not strong enough for me to generate bodhicitta, the mind intent on the achieving enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. Because there is still a lacking of this wholehearted resolve, taking personal responsibility to freedom.
I thought that qualm is done before, yeah, somewhere. No? Qualm is gone before, yeah? Just now your qualm is...
The qualm is on page 32 of the Lam Rim Chenmo.
Did you look at the door? Tata Lord Himji Changbe, Ningje Kiaba, not Simjigitum, Sanje, Topdo Kiev, Tesam, Chokmans, 바르데 사성적 지식 차 냠나.
So the qualm which Benny brought up is in page 32, right? Which says, once you develop compassion through a gradual training of the mind, you generate the desire to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all living beings. This should be enough. Why is it necessary to have the step of developing wholehearted resolve in between developing compassion and generating bodhicitta? And this qualm has been answered already, yeah, with the reply, although hearers and solitary realizers have the immeasurable love and compassion whereby they think, if only beings could have happiness and be free of suffering, these non-Mahayana followers do not think, I will take on the responsibility to remove the suffering and to provide the happiness of all living beings. Therefore, you must develop wholehearted resolve that surpasses all other courageous thought. So basically the qualm is that why on earth do you need something that, why do you need wholehearted resolve to come in between compassion and bodhicitta, right? And the answer is that you need wholehearted resolve. So this qualm has already been settled.
So if that's the case, then perhaps this will be
no second same qualm.
So perhaps if that's the case, then perhaps this one
will be a little bit different.
A little bit different. The qualm would be, if I can read it like this, try to understand it, will be, why is there a need? It's to help us. Just the earlier qualm was to help us bridge the gap between compassion and bodhicitta. So the gap will be wholehearted resolve. The earlier one, the one you just mentioned, yeah? Now will be to bridge the gap between, after love and compassion, to bridge the gap towards wholehearted resolve.
There's no need to bridge the gap because there's no qualm in the first place, right?
Then there's no qualm.
There isn't that qualm. There isn't that qualm. Chili padi, kya?
Okay. Okay, sit down. Yeah.
Chidi Pari, you want to say something?
Okay. Yeah.
You know why I call him Chidi Pari? You can ask behind the one.
Okay, I think the qualm is how does the cultivating of great love and great compassion leads to a wholehearted resolve.
How?
Yeah, so the qualm seems to be saying that the qualm is that, how does that result in one taking the full responsibility to want to free all beings from suffering? Yeah, so I thought that is the qualm.
Cause and effect, no? How compassion, how love and compassion will result in great, will have to result in wholehearted resolve, is it?
Yes, because early on the text was talking about developing, cultivating great love, that cultivating great compassion, So, but having leave it as that, right? You only have great love and great compassion. So the mere thought of thinking that, after that, I will take responsibility of freeing all beings from suffering, right? That may not be the great resolve. Yeah. a great intent to want to free sentient being. Just the mere words of that is not sufficient.
So there is a qualm, right? How did the qualm arise? What is the basis for the qualm to arise? What was said? I will read from the Lamrim Chenmo, but the additional outlines provided by Chijang Rinpoche will mark the boundary between that same paragraph, yeah. What is being discussed. So according to the small outline, it says the actual way to meditate on wholehearted resolve, right? Where does that end, that paragraph? At the conclusion of meditating on love and compassion thing, these dear living beings for whom I feel affection are deprived of happiness and tormented by suffering. How can I provide them happiness and free them from suffering? Thinking in this way, train your mind in at least this thought in order to take on the responsibility to liberate living beings. Full stop, right? Then this paragraph precedes the raising of the qualm, isn't it? The part of the paragraph which I just read is the actual way to cultivate wholehearted resolve. But this, immediately following this, comes the qualm, right? So obviously this will become like the basis for the qualm to arise, right? So what is said? So what is it that is causing the qualm to arise? So what I've just read out, that is like the actual way of meditating on wholehearted resolve. But the qualm comes immediately after this. So what I've just read out becomes like the basis for the qualm to arise, isn't it? And if you look at the smaller outline, it says clearing up the qualm, isn't it? And this goes with the next couple of sentences, which starts with, even though this thought was described in the context of the practice of repaying your mother's kindness, This refers to what?
No.
I heard the responsibility. I heard.
Malina, welcome.
Oh, debut, I think. Yeah, it's a debut.
When we are cultivating love and compassion, I understand it that it's in the meditative sessions. And in order for us to get to cultivating wholehearted resolve, we have to cultivate love and compassion. But it is not sufficient to just cultivate wholehearted resolve during meditative sessions. For this part, this cultivation of this part, we have to do it continuously post-meditation. The qualm is it enough to cultivate wholehearted resolve in your meditative sessions?
There's the qualm?
Yes.
So you're saying it's not sufficient just to practice wholehearted resolve?
It's not sufficient to just cultivate it during your
wholehearted resolve, yeah?
Yes.
In meditation, you have
to... Because in order to get to wholehearted resolve, you have to meditate on and to cultivate love and compassion in order to get that wholehearted resolve.
Yes.
But when you get to the point of the cultivating wholehearted resolve, it is not sufficient to just end it during to think about it or cultivate it during the meditative session. You must continually, in post meditation, in every action that you do, to continue to cultivate that wholehearted resolve.
So the answer to the qualm, as given in the text, says, even though this thought was described in the context of the practice of repaying your mother's kindness, here it indicates that it is insufficient to have the compassion and love which merely think how nice it would be if they had happiness and were free from suffering. For the thought that assumes responsibility shows that you must develop the compassion and love which has the power to induce the resolve, I will provide happiness and benefit to all living beings. So that up to that point is the basically the answer, right? So then subsequently it is very effective if you practice this continuously. So obviously you'll be effective if you practice that continuously, whether in session or in between sessions, right? So yeah, so this doesn't seem to be the answer or the qualm even, because there has to be, you have to make a relationship between the basis for the qualm and the answer to it, you know. So wholehearted resolve has to be cultivated, doesn't matter whether in a session or post meditation session, that's clear from the text, right? So there's no question about that.
Okay. Good suggestion. Yeah, it's nothing wrong, you know, whatever you understand, good to share. Yeah, when you read.
So the form would be, after having meditated on love and compassion, The meditator will develop this qualm. How can I provide the person who meditates on love compassion?
He develops the qualm.
Yeah. Or the person who is reflecting, perhaps. Yeah. Okay.
Generate the qualm.
Yeah. How can I provide them with happiness and freedom from suffering? The qualm would be, how can I provide them with happiness and freedom from suffering?
Provide to them. What?
Provide them with happiness. That means give them happiness and freedom from suffering. How can I do that?
And therefore, we must achieve enlightenment.
Thinking in this way.
So what are the results, Noni?
So even though this thought was described, yeah, so this thought is the qualm.
So Bodhicitta has to come after who are the resolve, yeah? So that already is clear, yeah? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Cindy has to try, you know? She's smiling.
I think there may be a qualm that people may think that, you know, this thought, alas, this dear, my dear living beings who have fused affection with deprived, blah, 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 blah.
What?
That whole thing, right?
What blah blah?
Okay. This thought, that these dear living beings for whom I feel.
Clear, don't say blah blah. No,
okay. Thou shall read the whole thing. Okay. People that think that, you know, these dear living beings for whom I feel affection are deprived of happiness and tormented by suffering. How can I provide them happiness and free them from suffering? This thought is also described in the context of practicing repaying your mother's kindness. So this thought is also there. So the qualm may be that with this thought,
wholehearted resolve was already there in the beginning.
Right. So in other words, you do not even need to have the love, practice the great love and compassion. You already have the wholehearted resolve.
So basically,
it needs to have this connection between repaying mother's kindness, and you really, you know, practice great love and great compassion in order to achieve this wholehearted result. If not, then the wholehearted result will be at the point where you have this thinking that, you know, the practice of repaying.
So in short, wholehearted resolve, although not called it by that name, was already present when you're meditating on your mother's kindness.
Correct.
You want to do something. You really want to do something. Correct. Then really.
Correct.
So
at the point that you think that, you know, you want to repay the mother's kindness, yeah, and you want to repay the all sentient mother's sentient wisdom.
You really want to do something then really, right?
Correct. So there may be a qualm there.
Wait for the answer.
Sorry. I'm very distracted myself. Yeah. Can you say one more? Yeah.
Okay, the qualm may be that, you know, this thinking of, I cannot say blah, blah, blah again. Okay. This thinking that, okay, how can I provide all mother sentient beings with happiness and freedom from suffering? This thought is actually also found when we are doing the practice of repaying mother's kindness, all mother's kindness. Mm-hmm. So if that is so, then technically wholehearted resolve can also be found there already, even preceding great love and compassion.
The whole idea of wanting to do something,
correct,
yourself,
that you already want.
You want to repay your mother's kindness. Correct. You already thought of repaying already.
Correct. So at that point in time, there may be a qualmless student. What for you go and practice this great love and compassion? Why is the need to practice great love and compassion to the point that you actually resolve to take the responsibility?
Getting closer. Getting closer. But I'm still not sure.
Try. Then, go.
Try. Today is your day. No. Anybody can come.
Okay.
I did not read that.
When you see your dad, not talking about you, you know, for everybody.
Actually, I did read that page. I didn't see a qualm, but basically what I saw was there is this assumption that when you meditate on great love and compassion, you will automatically generate this resolve to achieve, this wholehearted resolve to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. And however, is that there is this qualification in the sense that meditation on great love and compassion, it must be strong enough for you to generate that wholehearted resolve, which means that meditation on great love and compassion, they are different degrees of strength. And in this context, the meditation on love and compassion must be strong enough to induce that wholehearted resolve. And yeah, that's the, I would see is more like there is an assumption given, and what follows after that is the is what somehow like a qualification, further fine-tuning of that meditation.
So you're saying, as you were to summarize, don't assume that after love and compassion, you will have wholehearted resolve.
You automatically will have that wholehearted resolve.
So therefore, we need to train wholehearted resolve.
No. Well, I mean, you have to keep on meditating love or compassion up to the point whereby it's strong enough for you to generate that wholehearted resolve. That means that cultivation of great love or compassion have different degrees of strength. It may not be strong enough for one to automatically generate the thought that, oh, I myself will do it.
So you are saying if it is the love and compassion that is part of this sevenfold cause and effect, it is not necessarily the love and compassion that can induce great, wholehearted resolve. Are you saying that?
It's more like an...
Are you saying that?
Not really. It's more like...
seems like you're saying that, right?
No, it's like by reading on that page is that there is this assumption that when you cultivate love, great love and compassion, it will automatically lead to the wholehearted resolve.
Automatically.
That's the word. Automatically, that means, what's that? Bao tio eh la. I mean, you won't go wrong. But however, is that there's a qualification after that which says that that love and compassion must be strong enough to induce oneself to adopt that wholehearted resolve. That's my understanding. Actually, I didn't see any qualm when I was reading. It's more like. What I saw was there was this assumption made, and what follows after that assumption is the qualification that one's great love and compassion must be strong enough to induce one to develop that wholehearted resolve. And you have like great compassion, wholehearted resolve, which actually is the bridge to this bodhicitta.
Until we realize step 6, step 4 and 5 is never realized.
Well, I didn't go into the technical aspect. Right? He's just said, in terms of the sequential step, but it's sort of like to qualify what sort of the full measure of that great love and compassion. That's how that's what I gathered when I read that particular page. Yeah, thank you very much. That's all.
First of all, I think Rinpoche just now gave a hint. Because you look at the section on the actual way to meditate on the extraordinary attitude, the last paragraph, in taking upon yourself, at least in mere words, the responsibility to liberate them, your mind is trained. So the second the next paragraph, although this point has been already made briefly, this point refers to the responsibility to liberate mother sentient being from samsara. And as a resolve, if you look at the repaying the kindness of your mother sentient being, we know that our mother sentient being has been suffering. So actually, during the section on cultivating the wish to repay your mother's kindness, one has already been trained to develop this thought, I will establish them in the happiness of liberation. So if this thought has been already trained in repaying the kindness to mother sentient being, why is it that we have to repeatedly bring this up again? So the qualm is this, that in repaying the cultivating the wish to repay your kindness, the resolve of liberating your mother sentient being has been made. Why is it that now we are repeating the
That was what Guaching said.
That was
what Guaching said.
Yeah.
That was a qualm also.
Yeah. So here the answer is, it's not enough just to have the wish to want to liberate your mother sentient being.
Mm.
In addition to that, here we are trying to make the difference, because here the wish to liberate them is strengthened by the responsibility to take upon oneself to liberate them.
If my hearing is not wrong, sounds good.
I am here to be slaughtered.
What?
Can you say it's vegetarian?
I'm just thinking, right? If the wholehearted resolve is so important, why is it left till the end?
Huh? What?
If meditating on the extraordinary attitudes, right, the wholehearted resolve is so important, why is it left until the end? Why don't you talk about developing a wholehearted resolve first before you tell us about meditating on love and compassion? Because you said in the last lesson, right, before one go into wholehearted resolve, one must cultivate love and compassion before this.
You don't know why the what called just now wholehearted what? Wholehearted resolve. Why that come the last?
Special.
Yeah, you know why? Good, too good. Good one come only the last. No.
Hmm.
After your meal, your delicious dessert only come in the last. Joking. I think just now, Jokshin Muiching, what she said, I think very close to that. I think other people getting that or not, so must get that. Yeah.
Okay, I think the qualm is that, right? The text did say that after you cultivate
Are
great love.
Different what they said? Or?
No, slightly different from what they said. After that, you cultivate great love and great compassion. Then over here it says that then you cultivate the thought that I will want to free them all from suffering, right? All mother sentient beings from suffering. So I thought the qualm is that, is that itself sufficient to be, is that itself considered as a cultivation of wholehearted resolve? So the text seems to be say that even after one develop that mere thought that I myself, you know, will take on the responsibility to free all mother sentient beings, that is not, that is one has not complete training on cultivating wholehearted resolve.
Yeah. It's coming same, isn't it? Same as what they said, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah. I see same point. Yeah.
Similar.
I think similar point. Yeah. Look like same. Did it all happen here? I don't know. Huh?
Oh, Mr. Tan.
No, you're not. You're not.
So the we have to figure out what does this refer to in the sentence. Even though this thought was described in the context of the practice of repaying your mother's kindness, So, don't you think that this thought, this refers to the idea, what can I do to help these sentient beings who are deprived of happiness and are suffering? So, do you think that this refers to refer to the thought that, oh, what can I do, you know, to help these sentient beings who are deprived of happiness and are suffering? And this is what is mentioned exactly before this particular sentence, right? So, So we seem that have to refer to the thought which was mentioned just before the sentence, right? You know, what can I do to help the sentient beings achieve happiness and freedom from suffering, right? So you got a thought, you got what this is. So isn't this thought already mentioned in the context of in the section of repaying the mother's kindness? You already have the thought, right? You want to do something, you know?
That books ma lasam jiao wo xie yu la ta di le xin ne jia ba zhu kuai ji ta to wo yu ba ta san ba de ngan me ba zhu di le xin ne jia ba zhu xi to wo yong si ge ba lu ta di ne di xie xin ne jia duo la san ba de ngan me ba xi di le xin ne jia me zhu se ne to wo de yong si ba me zhu.
So it's possible that when we come to the session of wholehearted resolve, it is possible that one may have the thought that, you know, it's like, one may have the thought that this is really, we are talking about this for the first time, you know. We have this doubt, Okay, you got the qualm, or what I think the qualm is? You got it? It's like, it's not as if you're talking about this for the first time. It's possible to have the thought, isn't it? So the answer is yes, it is possible. It's permissible to say that in the section of repaying the mother's kindness, you know, you develop that mere thought and thinking, oh, what can I do to help my and the suffering sentient beings, you know? Yeah. While that is permissible, wow.
That determines the cup that the Hassam share, Kabla, Larian, that Dumadan, Tandodan, that the Watan Chedurita, Tindig, some Shekwadi, Karasana, that Martam Medosh, Tatuna, Hassam Jenebe, and Chabarin, Chabarinji, Larian, the share, Sotosunji.
So, even though this near thought of wanting to do something for sentient beings, the mother sentient beings who are suffering and who are deprived of happiness, even though this thought You have this mere thought while you were remembering your mother's kindness, yeah, and wanting to repay your mother's kindness right at that time. But it's insufficient. That is insufficient. Yeah, you need to develop a wholehearted resolve on the thought of that it has to be induced by strong love and compassion. There's a difference. There's a difference, qualitative difference in the thought. So the essence is this, yeah. The wholehearted resolve, the thought here, the thought, you know, the thought wanting sentient beings to be free from suffering, the thought wanting sentient beings to have happiness, you know, has to be strong enough to induce wholehearted resolve. So while the thought is similar, but the strength is different. So the earlier one is, you know, of course not as strong, basically. So this is, I don't know, this is what I think is the qualm and the answer. So what do you think? Is there any fault? So something that you can discuss here. And then what Melina said then comes into the picture now. Yeah. So whether it is in the meditation session or post-meditation session, you have to work on the love and compassion, you know, such that it is strong enough to induce a wholehearted resolve. So I did what I did today. I mean, in order to show you the difference it makes, you know, when you think about what you read, when you think when you read, basically.
What in the shop?
While it is not possible for everyone to get everything, but the thing is, everyone just have to try your best, okay? And not to be discouraged, disheartened. So through a proper cultivation of love, compassion, and wholehearted resolve, you know, then one would be able to develop a mind that is intent on others' welfare, a mind that is intent on achieving others' welfare by oneself alone. Yeah. And once that is developed, then one will have a basis, yeah, for developing the mind that is intent on enlightenment. Okay, training the mind to be intent on enlightenment. So this is this last section of the 7-point sevenfold course in effect instruction, right? Once you have been inspired by the aforementioned process and have seen that you need enlightenment for the sake of others' welfare, you develop the wish to attain it. However, this is not enough. First, increase your faith as much as possible by contemplating the good qualities of the Buddha's body, speech and mind and enlightened activities as previously explained in the section on going for refuge. Then, as it is taught that faith is the basis of aspiration, develop the desire to attain those good qualities from the depths of your heart and induce a certainty that it is absolutely necessary to attain omniscience even for your own welfare. So, only after having trained the mind in cultivating a recognition of all sentient beings as our mothers, recollecting, cultivating a remembrance of the kindness, cultivating the wish to repay the kindness, love, compassion and wholehearted resolve, only then do you see the need to achieve full enlightenment, and then comes the desire to achieve full enlightenment. One has to realize or to see the need to achieve full enlightenment in order to be able to perfectly, work for others. Yeah. Only when you see the necessity, only then will a desire for enlightenment, yeah, or only then will it arise. Yeah. So, if you see the need to achieve full enlightenment in order to perfectly work for others, then you will develop the desire to achieve enlightenment, right? But that is not sufficient, to leave it as that. Because the bodhicitta that one aspires to generate has to be forceful, strong. Yeah. So therefore, while we have to have a full conviction, understanding of what it means to be Buddha, yeah, our object of refuge, right? We have to know one, and we have to understand. We have to have understanding of all the Buddha's qualities, yeah, qualities of his body, speech, mind, and enlightened activities, to the point that you have very strong faith,
So we have one has to develop the very strong faith, yeah, that comes from recollecting the Buddha's qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind, and enlightened activities. Yeah, you need this strong faith because this strong faith can induce the generation of a very strong bodhicitta. Yeah. So to recollecting the Buddha's the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, mind, and enlightened activities, you will have faith. You have faith in them, right? In those qualities, faith in Buddha, right? Right? This faith will induce an aspiration in us to want to be like that. And this will induce an ascertainment in the mind, you know, where you know how is an absolute necessity, you know, important to achieve full enlightenment in order to perfectly work, accomplish the welfare of others, and also to fulfill one's own welfare to the fullest. Yeah. So through cultivation, come the day when an uncontrived aspiration for enlightenment arises, then when that's the time where you can say, oh, I have generated bodhicitta. You know, if you look at what we have just discussed here, you can see, you know, how important it is to have a comprehensive overview of the entire teachings. Right? So in order to develop bodhicitta, one needs to have a faith in the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind, and enlightened activities. And this is explained in the section of refuge, which comes under the path that is shared with the person of small capacity, isn't it? In order to develop compassion, we need to have a thorough understanding of a realization of what suffering is. Yeah. So you see, in order to be ready to develop anything, we need a comprehensive overview of the entire teachings. Yeah. We need to know a lot of stuff.
That
So when you read this particular paragraph, do you see how one has to know a lot of stuff and to have a comprehensive overview of everything? Yeah. So you see, generating bodhicitta is not easy. Yeah? Many conditions have to come together. Yeah? Many. Okay, the general definition of the bodhicitta, the spirit of enlightenment, is as taught in the ornament of clear realizations, yeah, which is that the desire for perfect enlightenment for others' welfare. With respect to its subdivisions of bodhicitta, the engaging the bodhisattva deeds, you know, follows the array of stock sutras and says that it is both aspirational and engaged. Just as one distinguishes between wishing to go and going, similarly the learned should understand the division of these two in accordance with this sequence. Although there are many disagreements with regard in this respect, there's a statement in the first stages of meditation, which states that may I become a Buddha, or I will become a Buddha for the sake of all beings. Yeah. As long as you have not taken the vows, yeah, it is the aspiration of the spirit that is present. And after you have taken the vows, then it becomes the engaged spirit of enlightenment or engaged bodhicitta. So basically division into aspirational and engaged. So here we are identifying what bodhicitta is. Yeah. The bodhicitta here is the fruit of the training. Yeah. After training in the six causes, yeah, the preceding causes. So bodhicitta is the fruit. What is bodhicitta? To make it simple, bodhicitta is the thought thinking that I must achieve a full enlightenment in order to accomplish the welfare of others. Yeah.
It's very simple. Yeah, that's it. Not so complicated. That took me. Just now, that Tonda in Karsana, Kapola, Anipena, Karsana,
Dumbani
Sink. Ah, what was that? Tati Kamatin, Tati Kamaja, Dubai, Changi, Dubai, Dumbadang, Chungdeng, the US. so forgot the definition.
So if you, here is an introduction to philosophy. The definition of bodhicitta is, I'm not a poet. It is the bodhicitta. It is the aspiration that desires full enlightenment for the welfare of others, that is concomitant with the Mahayana main mind, something like that. It's like that.
Although you translated before, I don't know that one, I have no idea.
When we talk about bodhicitta and its importance, we say it is an aspiration, isn't it? A desire, aspiration for enlightenment, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, simply speaking. But if you look at, if you want the actual definition of what bodhicitta is, the reason why there was a definition, the reason why there's a definition is to show basically the fact that bodhicitta is a main mind and not a mental factor. Bodhicitta. Actually, technically speaking, mind generation, Samkhya, we say mind generation possesses two aspirations. Yeah. Mind generation is a mind that possesses two aspirations. Dumbani then. So mind generation is a mind possessing the two aspirations. What are the two aspirations? Aspirations for complete enlightenment, aspirations for the welfare of others. So mind generation is the mind that is concomitant with the aspiration for enlightenment. Chungden, we say concomitant. I don't think there's any other translation. Chungden. So the cause of mind generation is the desire for the aspiration for what is welfare, accompanied by a desire for or aspiration for enlightenment. Okay.
독신 따던다 독신에 따나도 갑과로 독과로 섬계에서 통해도 가라 등반나 신지 고리마 이나 따 중에 마십도 없어도 등반 말했어 등배 민기 따나 때 말했어 등반 말했어 너 어떻게 숨어야
So yeah, you know, usually when we talk about bodhicitta, you may have the idea from the way it is spoken that you think that it's an aspiration. Yeah. So from the technical point of view, it is not an aspiration. Yeah. It looks like aspiration is given the name of, but it's not an aspiration. Yeah.
Mm.
So the reason why bodhicitta mind generation is not an aspiration because mind generation is the main mind. Aspiration is a mental factor. Yeah. So, but bodhicitta is a main mind that is accompanied by these two aspirations. So in that sense, they are concomitant. These two are concomitant with the main mind. Or is it the way wrong? I also think the English way of saying is correct.
So there. That on that that the that one so that Carson some joke and shady that not send Jamal Lane with it, that you sell to Carson some joke mother says, some joke Chabacan said it, that on the Louis Namsha Shedogana, shoot your check, or whatever that took in it. That tell us you put it.
So, I mean, this is just some additional information. Don't worry. This will be, I mean, the difference between what is a mind, what is a main mind, what is a mental factor, what's the difference between main mind and mental factor will be covered in the next module, which all of you are
welcome.
Looking forward to.
All of you are welcome. Thank you.
That's the real start of the basic program. So, if you really explore these treatises, yeah. Yeah, these terminology stuff, right? It's like when you look at it, sometimes it's like, what on earth is this? You know, something that you really cannot fit the mind, you know.
Oh, today is the day of the Song. The 76th Nangal Nevasi. So, tomorrow, why are we talking about it? Song that today, Mangbuji, you are there. That, Gongbo, just come back. Can you long enough for Nangal Nevasi?
So, and one of the really the distinguishing features of the Dharma is that, you know, no matter what scripture you read, I mean, a valid scripture, you read all of them, you know, so many views and, you know, all they present stuff from all sorts of different angles, but at the end of the day, you know, they're all talking about the same thing. You know. That's the amazing thing, you know, how they all arrive at the same conclusion. Yeah, there's no internal contradiction, you know, between all these various treatises.
You know. Mm. Mm.
So this is the special distinguishing feature of the Buddha's teachings. Yeah, you know, every single word, you know, the teachings. And when you think about it, every time you read, you may get a new understanding, new perspective. You know, something that is not shared with other teachings. Like, you know, His Holiness often says, I mean, you know, he's read the Lamrim Chenmo, I don't know how many million times, you know, not million times, but so it's like even you read it 100 times, you get 100 different, you know. Meanings, feeling, perspectives.
So, so so one to college just lost college quite the chimbutong.
So I see, I think it's very important. That's why I keep saying to you, I think it's very important you have to read. Not read and think about what you read, you know. You really have to think and analyze. Otherwise, you know, if you just rely on me, you know, just reading out in class, yeah, then there's really no much benefit, yeah.
Okay, that's it. So, what does it mean? The water, and you must send your knee, shaky, and Java Karashigu, and Gomin Tambu Lung Karasung, what is some of Tambu Nong, the name of the Dashing in Jaloya.
Okay, so think about the division of bodhicitta into two, aspiration and engaged, yeah. And what is the quotation from Kamalishita's the stages of meditation saying, you know? Yeah, so, and also there's the quotation from the engaging the Purusavadis, yeah. So what is the quotation saying, you know? Because of the coming visa celebrations, we won't be having class next week, right? Partly also because it's Labor Day. Tuesday is Labor Day. We have Guru Puja, right, at 4 p.m. So then Thursday is just one day before the actual celebration, so we'll be busy. So that we have no class. But please read the text. The next section, which is the exchanging self and other, yeah. Okay, and if you have any questions, you can then bring it up in class next time. So please read the section on exchanging yourself and other, bring, if you have any questions, please raise it, in the next session, yeah. So when I say to read the text now, I'm asking everyone to read the text. Yeah. So because when you read the text, then in the future when someone would ask me a question, right? And then and if I were to clarify whatever question doubts you have, then you and then everyone will benefit because you have read the text.
I think it's Thursday. I mean, the subsequent Thursday.
Yeah, I think so. Class will resume the following Thursday, I think. Did I put a class on Tuesday? I don't think so, yeah. No, yeah. I don't know why it's there. Our original calendar is not there. Right. Our working one don't have, right? Our working calendar don't have, right?
Yeah, but I don't have.
So.
And I
don't. So. Yeah. Basically, you're trying to tell me that I'm the one who put it in, ah? Because it is after Visa. I have no issues with one class. But I think there's a request from the office and people to not have class because everyone will be tired. Yeah. I don't know. Chen. Datarama. Oh yeah, so we finish with the usual prayers.